He does it! The greatest night in the history of Chelsea Football Club.
Dennis Bergkamp! Dennis Bergkamp!
Occasion Mourinho on the pitch, followed by Wenger. And it's not often you see this serious an outbreak of disorder in such a big game.
Hello and welcome to Red and Blue, the Arsenal and Chelsea podcast based in Cape Town. Now, this week we've got a lot to talk about. We've got some fun and games mixed in with some serious chat. First of all, let me introduce the teams, as it were. On my right is Chelsea fan Jeremy Westwood.
Hello.
Nick Key.
Hello.
And Arsenal fan Richard Bolland.
Hi.
But before we get into the real meat of this meal, Bolly, let's do Whose Voice Is That?
Richard Bolland's Whose Voice Is That? Voice number one.
Actually, before we get into voice number one, I'd just like to say that this is a special Arsenal and Chelsea edition.
Okay.
So all that you're about to hear are either current or ex-players or future players of, of Chelsea and Arsenal. So if you hear some 14-year-old boy talking, that's going to be a tough one. I can't quite remember how many voices I've put in here. I think they're around, they're six. They're five clips, but the one clip has two voices. I think. I might actually be wrong.
Right.
If I remember, actually, I think there's one giant clue in the one voice. So we'll just kind of give half a point for that one.
Right.
But let's carry on.
My name is Arsene Wenger. Oh, damn.
Okay, here we go.
We will getting better and better. So, you know, I think we will do very well.
Good
season.
You're contenders for the trophies, aren't you? You're contenders.
Yeah, for sure.
Oof.
Jeez.
Chelsea.
Contenders for the trophy.
Is that why you said Chelsea?
Yeah. Unless it's from last season, just before the FA Cup.
Are these recent or are they spanning?
Well, it could be even be past players.
Past or present. So you want to hear it again?
Okay. Let's go to the trophy.
We will do very well, good season.
You're contenders for the trophies, aren't you?
Oh.
You're contenders.
Yeah, for sure.
No. It sounds a little bit like Giroud, but I don't think it is.
Yeah, 100% correct.
What?
Yes!
Olivier! Wow!
Jeez.
Olivier. 1 point to Kerr.
Yep. Well done, Kerr.
Voice number two.
Now is great. First game and beginning is always difficult, but we're happy about result. During the game, we can improve, of course, a lot.
Oh, man. That sounds like Azpilicueta.
It sounds Spanish, definitely.
Yeah. I'm saying Azpilicueta.
Okay, that's wrong. Jeremy?
Oof. Other Spanish players, if it is Spanish.
Do you want to hear it again?
I was going to say Fernando Torres the first up, but I thought that might be a bit brave.
Game and beginning is always difficult, but we're happy about result. During the game, we can improve, of course, a lot.
I don't think it sounds Spanish. I would say, I don't know. I'm just going to go, I don't know.
We can improve, of course, a lot.
Ivanovic?
That would be great.
Yes! Finally, he's
jeez.
What grasp of accent.
Well done, Kerr. That was Kerr with 2 points there.
Thank Ivanovic. You.
Well done. Yeah. I've all people to pick out of a
Chelsea squad.
Yeah.
Chelsea squad.
Nice.
Yeah.
Man, well done.
I really am terrible at this game.
Oh, man.
Voice number three.
It's a massive win. You know, I thought to myself it's a little bit harsh on Liverpool because they played really well for 90 minutes and we managed to score a winner in extra time.
That's Wojciech Szczesny.
That would be correct.
Kerr's on fire.
Yeah, okay. 3 points.
The only three points we're getting.
Do you just like really know what Szczesny's voice sounds like?
Yeah, I really do.
That's awesome.
He's very British.
Yeah,
I was going to say, initially, I thought, okay, that's one of the British players.
Yeah,
so did I.
Okay.
Was that the one with the massive clue?
Bonus voice.
Thank you. Yeah, it was very important for us winning today in front of
that's what matters.
Supporters. Yes.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I know that voice. Yeah. It sounds like a little child.
That's so funny. It sounds...
Well done, Jeremy. Yeah, that was correct. Okay, final voice. This is a toughie.
The real bonus voice.
Yeah, this is a toughie.
Bonus voice.
Yeah, my first goal heady in my career.
Really?
Yeah, that's good. Very,
sounds drunk.
Very important goal. I'm very happy.
I'll give you a clue. It was his first ever English interview.
Diego Costa?
No.
No, Costa can't even speak English.
That's what I was going to say. But
oh, man. It is my good. He sounds quite young. I'm not even entirely sure what nationality that is.
Can you give us the team?
Are you going to have no... Okay, have a stab first, and then okay. I'll give you a clue.
Okay. First goal, young... I don't know any... Okay, can you at least just say, is he current?
Yes, he's
okay.
current.
Okay. Okay. Someone scored their first goal for us just last week, or week before.
Flip. Oh, that's...
It's not Oscar.
No. It is Oscar.
Yes!
What?
Gretchen!
It is. Oscar.
Yeah, that's Oscar. He's Brazilian, right?
Yeah.
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 So I imagine that is a bit of what? Spanish, Portuguese, or...
Portuguese. Man, Kurt, you have run away with this game.
Crazy.
That was
I feel like there's some collusion going on.
Was that 4 points for Kurt and 1 point for Jeremy? And
which one did you get right?
Juan Mata.
Hello!
That's Richard Bollins, whose voice is that?
Well done, Paul.
Arsenal picking up their only points for today.
And that was really good. That was really, really good.
Nice one.
So let's not waste any more time. We want to start talking about the game at the weekend. Obviously, you know, the ref awarded that penalty and Lambie slotted it over right in the dying minutes of the game. It was so exciting. What a game. We can really get into that.
Yeah, I think Springboks played so well.
They really did.
Like,
they showed great togetherness.
Yeah. And it was a long time since they've defeated the All Blacks.
Very long time, Yeah,
it's similar length of time since Arsenal have defeated Chelsea.
Cool. Moving on to the stats.
Guys, I have 11 talking points that we need to get into.
Okay, yeah. We'll be humble.
We want to laugh at the fact that we beat you.
Of course.
But aside from that, there are just so many...
I mean, I would laugh if it wasn't so predictable.
Yeah, for those who didn't know, the final score was 2-0 to Chelsea. and which means that no one was correct. I guessed exactly how many goals Arsenal would score. And I think Jim guessed how many goals Chelsea would score.
I said 2-1.
You said 3-1. You said 3-1.
No, I said 3-2.
No, he's a 3-1. And so we were all basically wrong.
I think in terms of the bookies, I think Mick would win that because he predicted the right score difference.
Yeah.
Probably.
But but then you get bonus. Point. You guys will get bonus points for getting the goals, the one of the goals right. I get nothing because I was 1-1.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's start at the very beginning. So game was delayed.
Due to some
scummy Arsenal fans letting off flares.
They say Arsenal fans, but I didn't see any evidence.
Why would they make that up?
No, it could just be trolls. Like Chelsea fans dressed in Arsenal tops.
Throwing red smoke bombs.
I think there's no affiliation associated with the fans outside of the stadium.
Saw some pictures.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay. I concede everything.
It wasn't even outside the stadium, actually. It was actually inside the
concourse. Yeah.
That's why they had to...
They had to stop everyone else coming in.
That's why they closed the gates, because it was... initially, they were reporting, it's people outside, they're closing the gates, they don't come in. But it was actually people who were already inside, and they were stopping more people from coming in and causing more of a ruckus.
Is there any explanation for them, besides hooliganism?
I think they were just having a duel, really.
Yeah.
I don't think they were trying to be... unnecessarily dickish.
No, just throw it on the field, which is during the game.
But moving on to the game. I think first big talking point early on in the game is the penalty.
Yeah.
Right. And the great thing about this penalty is that it's the one and only The man, if you've known me long enough to know the only person in your team that I say is a guaranteed penalty waiting to happen is Koscielny.
Yeah, or in Flamini, but yeah.
You're right. I mean, it was, I remember the commentator saying some stat that it's Koscielny's like seventh penalty
since 2010.
Yeah.
And he has more than any other, he's given away more penalties than any other player in the Premier League.
Yeah.
Which is actually that a is funny crazy. Stat because I didn't actually, I wasn't 100% sure if I was true.
You were just,
I just had this, you know, you just keep seeing him, he's involved, he always seems to be involved.
He's committed to the tackle.
Committed slightly late.
Well, let's talk about committing slightly late and the challenge on Sanchez just before the penalty, which we just seemed to
was
skip over there.
Was it before?
I mean,
Cahill. No, listen. Cahill challenge. There's no defending that. There's no defending that challenge, right?
Yeah.
That's a straight red. Yeah. But that ref missed four red cards. Because if you want to get into the red card count, it starts with Cahill, should have been sent off.
Yeah.
Immediately, so should Wenger. Yeah. Okay. We'll get into that. We'll get into all of these individual things. But we're just talking about the ref's performance here. Koscielny's was a red card.
Yeah.
So was Welbeck's challenge on Fabregas. Yeah. That's a ridiculous red card. And did you
Chambers should probably have got a double yellow, but so should have Oscar. Because Oscar was making a bunch of different challenges.
He didn't do any.
I don't know.
Yeah, but it's a more debatable.
The Chambers one, you probably could have, but I'm less worried about that.
Yeah.
I'm talking about straight reds.
Oh, okay, straight reds, okay.
So that's already three plus Wenger.
Yeah.
Okay. And included, did you see after that footage came out of Sanchez punching Ivanovic in the back of the head?
No, I didn't see that.
So Sanchez on the ball, Ivanovic like just pulls his shirt, irrespective, that's not even a yellow. But as he spins around, just punches him in the back of the head, and Ivanovic doesn't care because Ivanovic is Ivanovic, and just picks up the ball. But that's still, he is very clear that he threw a punch.
Wow.
There's a fly on the back of his head.
watching
out for him. Probably a bee, actually.
I'm surprised he could reach, to be honest.
So Sanchez was actually involved in quite a number of incidents, namely the Gary Cahill tackle, which was already revenge for knocking out our bloody keeper.
Yeah.
So comes in, throws a knee into the face of all.
Well, if you're running full tilt, I mean, it's not exactly.
They both tried to change direction in the same direction.
I think.
I don't know. It didn't look like it. Well, it looked like he kind of just went stiff into him, like.
Well, what are you supposed to do when the keeper's jumping literally at your thigh?
Get out of the way.
Yeah, he did try. I don't think it was.
I think
it was unfortunate that like it, you know, it wasn't.
I agree.
Really,
I think
Cahill was reacting to
an unfortunate situation.
I think that Chelsea are just sensitive to this because of the whole Cech incident.
Yeah,
Cech had his skull fractured, a very similar incident.
Wow, he must have had some chirps for Courtois after the game.
Well, the thing is, we are particularly sensitive to our keepers getting head injuries because, you know, it's happened to us before. We've seen what's happened since then. But I mean, you know, not to say anything else, the fact that Courtois went off and we could immediately bring on Petr Cech was incredible.
But we all know how a card can completely change a game and how a red card can essentially, you know, change. If the play is going in one direction, a red card appears and it can completely change the other one. And I think, like, in Arsenal's defence, that could have been the case of the Cahill red card, you know? Mm. That, like, if Cahill did get a red card, I think things, you know, would have swung around a lot, and you probably wouldn't have seen stuff like the Welbeck tackle, etc., etc. And you know, I think it would have been a very, very interesting game.
Okay,
to be honest, I would always prefer a game of 11 versus 11. Like, I know. Obviously, I prefer us to have the upper hand and potentially win the game with you guys with the red. But it wouldn't feel it when you've got a player sent off very early in the game. It never feels like a true victory. It always feels slightly marred.
Yeah.
So I was kind of happy. I mean, Sanchez was good to go. Like, he didn't actually get injured. So the fact that Cahill didn't get a red, you know, doesn't really bother me too much.
Yeah.
It was just a pity that our defense and our defensive midfield is so weak that they just let Hazard run
that
into the box.
Unreal.
And I mean, what else is he going to do except take the pen? Like,
yeah, I think that was an amazing run by Hazard.
Yeah, it was a great run.
Should have been. Yeah,
I think that Hazard goal was just pure. Actually, both goals from Chelsea were pure class.
Oh, man.
They were like I mean, Mertesacker is obviously the slowest coach you'll ever find. And Koscielny, I think, was caught slightly wrong-footed.
Yeah, because Koscielny's not particularly slow.
No, he's fast. He's one of the fastest players in Arsenal squad.
Yeah.
And like, you know, I think Costa's that chest down was just a phenomenal touch.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously the good thing about that goal is the ball from Fabregas in.
Oh, yeah, just remarkable.
I mean, what an amazing glorious ball. But
I think the thing with the game is that it was very fine margins, and basically you guys took the chances that you had, and we with the chances that we had, which were few and far between.
Well,
we didn't take them.
You didn't even have a shot on target.
Yeah, well, no, I know. But I mean, even we had a chance where Jack was onto the keeper
and took
a bad touch, could have chipped it. Whereas you know, like Costa finished it with a plump. So
yeah, no. To be honest, that Jack. Like gave me a bit of a heart attack when that happened.
Yeah, I mean, neither team really dominated in terms of having lots more shots on target and chances created. Like, it was very even in that sense.
It was more of a midfield battle type game, which I do feel on average, I think we were coming.
Yeah, and
to
I think
match-ish.
part of the thing was once we scored the first goal, then we just Mourinho's like,
let's
sit back and defend because we know we can do that.
The Mourinho best.
What do you guys think of Matic?
I think he's superb. I think there was a lot of talking points where. We also had an option to buy a Matic back in the beginning, and we chose not to, or for some reason things fall through. And I think he would have been like an excellent central.
He's incredible.
Like defensive midfielder, he dominated that game. If it wasn't for the goals, I think he would. If it finished nil all, he would be man of the match for me. Like
I
think he was really really good.
I agree. I think that he's like the new Yaya Toure. In the league, I think minus the goal scoring capabilities, but in terms of being that midfield general type presence, Yaya Toure has held that crown for so long. I feel like Matic is kind of the pretender to the throne. He's maybe on par or just slightly edging Toure this season so far. I don't know, but you mentioned without the K, if Cahill had gone, you wouldn't have maybe had the Welbeck tackle. But I wanted to ask you guys, for me it felt so. It felt so unnecessary at the time. There was no danger. It just felt like either
he slipped.
absolute frustration coming out. But what? Actually, for me, I was thinking about it afterwards, and I want to know your guys' opinion. For a person like Welbeck, this isn't a joke. For a person like Welbeck to come into a club like Arsenal from Man United hasn't really been doing well. In a game of such big magnitude, it also felt like. It was specifically against Fabregas. Do you feel that maybe he did it almost as a way to go like, hey fans.
No,
like,
not at all.
I back, you know what I mean? Like he's trying to endear, himself to the fans.
No, I think you've got it the wrong way around. I think he has nothing against, why would he have something against Fabregas? Because he's come from Man United. It's not like he has any animosity against
him. No, not that he has any animosity specifically.
But he's not also doing badly. And we're not in Arsenal news today, and I don't know if we'll even get there. But it's a pity because he scored his first hat-trick for the club against Galatasaray.
Let's talk about
Galatasaray. So, Danny Welbeck playing against the Turkish team. Against a non-existent defense. Scored his first hat-trick. Bolly, how do you feel about that?
I thought it was, like, some of his goals were Henry-esque. And it was awesome to see him opening up the face and putting them in the corners. I think like, okay, if we bring it back to the Chelsea game slightly, like, it was all about the feeding, He was getting delivered those balls.
Ozil was playing in the middle.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that is a huge talking point, is the fact that, like, the last two games, Galatasaray and what was the game before that?
Couldn't remember.
Tottenham. The Tottenham game. I think Ozil was both in the middle, and we did fairly well. He had two great games. And then, for some reason, this Chelsea game, Wenger puts him back on the wing, and he does crap again. And, like, I really think that... I mean, Santi is usually plays on the wing.
Are you talking about... So
I saw an interesting graph, or looking at the...
Heat maps,
and also just, like, average positions, and also just a position over the game, like a GIF. And there, you just had no width on the right-hand side. Ozil spent most of his time in the middle anyway, which meant you were overloading that central area, and you couldn't get anywhere on the wide side because there was no one out there. Yeah. And as soon as you brought the Ox on,
then there was someone out wide and there was just space and it pulled the game apart a bit more.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about that guy, but I flipping love him.
He's really good at direct running. Mm. And I think it's because he's scared of Theo coming back. I don't know if we've talked about this before.
No.
But basically, that's exactly what Theo's going to do. He's going to sit on the right wing. He's going to make those runs behind the defense.
Mm.
And you know, Ox is playing in a very similar position. So I think he's trying to...
I wonder if they should stick like Ox on the left, Walcott on the right, Ozil in the middle.
Jeez, that would be terrifying.
There would be so much pace up front.
That would be terrifying.
Like, and then Welbeck up front as well. So and then you play like, you know, Arteta and Flamini as the center defensive mid. Yeah. So you have like, you have a very strong type of defensive minded midfield with Ozil as the kind of like through ball, and then just super pace on the wings, and then Welbeck to finish or hold it up in the front. Like that, I think would be a really interesting formation.
Do you think Welbeck's strong enough to lead the line?
I think him and Giroud. Giroud's very, very good at holding up the ball.
See, that's the thing, because Giroud, to me, seems like a more pure centre-forward.
Mm.
Yeah, he's also a bit of a cart horse. Like, he's pretty slow, whereas Welbeck can get behind the defence.
True, but I'm saying, if he gives you something different as opposed to having three very similar players across the front band. So you've got Ox and Walcott on the wings to have another player in the middle of the same type.
Yeah.
You almost want to have a guy who's got a different skill set to complement theirs.
I mean, I feel at Arsenal, basically, we can talk about the perfect combination of players until the cows come home, because we always have so many players injured. Like, that's, we're never going to hit that perfect, like...
Well, let's talk about...
Wenger's never going to be able to put the team that he wants together properly, because we're always injured.
But why? I mean,
Ozil's now injured for 3 months with a knee injury.
Yeah.
Ramsey's out. Giroud's out. Walcott's coming back from injury.
Arteta's out.
Who else is out?
Debuchy's
out for ages.
I mean, you guys have got a long injury list, and I mean, that's crippling. That is crippling. You can't deny the fact that, I mean, I would say at least five of those guys are starters.
Yeah, exactly. Chambers is our deputy right back, who is now absolutely all right. Mark, I've forgotten about Debuchy.
Yeah.
That's how much Chambers has played.
Yeah.
I mean, he's 19.
Yeah.
You know, it's
crazy. The fact is, we're probably going to see Bellerin play right
back. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Bellerin's going to be our deputy.
Suspended.
Oh, of course.
Five yellows.
Fantastic. Great news.
But, okay. Yeah, so you can't deny the fact that is crippling. And I think that did play a major part against us. I think if you manage to get your full team full strength, you'll be a very different prospect going forward, I think.
Yeah.
But the problem is that by that time, it might be too late to salvage the season.
Exactly. And I think you guys are kind of pulling ahead now.
Yeah.
I'll be very surprised if you guys don't win the title. I actually think you got a good shot at also not losing a game to
Jeez, I don't know. as much as the thing, it's still only 7 games in or 8 games in.
Or we'll get there in the stats.
Yeah.
But, that's all about. I hope this doesn't destroy one of the stats later, but there's only one other team in the Premier League that has done this well before in a season.
Season.
Yeah, and I think it was United or something, but I'm not sure.
But I can't seem to see how we could throw this away unless you have a massive collapse. But Chelsea are always very well known for having a November December slump.
Yeah.
Like, historically, every season we go through a rough patch there, and we kind of kick back in January, February.
I think maybe the only team who's done better start might have been the Invincibles.
Very possible.
You know.
But we're going to look at that later.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's. Are we about to wrap up this?
No.
We've got a few more things.
We've missed out. We haven't even spoken about the biggest talking.
We've only got to about minute 20 here.
Okay. Are you talking about the managers?
Of course.
Okay, well, we don't need to spend too much time on this, but go for it. What do you want to say?
Well, I mean, I don't think it needs bearing repeating, but I think the great thing is how much Mourinho gets under Wenger's skin.
He really does. Like, it's phenomenal.
It's hilarious. I think, like, the people like to paint Pellegrini specifically and Wenger as being these, like, elder statesmen, like, professorial type, like, thinkers, you know? And he's made both of them absolutely lose it this season. Like, I've never seen Wenger react like that. The great thing is that Mourinho is always painted as the villain.
Yeah.
Like, and rightly so. He deserves it. He can be an absolute nightmare to have to, like... He's like that... He's like
a troll.
He's like a sarcastic,
troll.
He's like
a
sarcastic
he
kid at school.
Yeah.
He's just like, shut up!
Yeah.
I can totally understand why, but it's so great for when he's on your side. Like, to see Wenger storm across there and push him and then go, oh no... I was I was trying to get to Sanchez thing. The thing is, that's also illegal. You have a technical area. Stay in your technical area.
And if you go out of it, don't go and push the other manager. If you're leaving your one,
don't go into the other manager's technical area and then push him. I mean, like, it sounded like a massive excuse to me.
If Mourinho had done that,
he would have been banned for like 10 games. Yeah. Wenger does it, they're like, whatever.
It was really funny.
I saw that one. Had one. Wenger knows best comment that said something like, should the Cahill challenge be a red card? Yes, absolutely, definitely. And what about the Welbeck challenge? Oh, didn't see it.
Really? Did he really say that?
No,
this is a Twitter parody Twitter account.
It's a parody Twitter because he always doesn't see the incidents when it's Arsenal's.
No, it's ridiculous. But that's what I'm saying. So I think that was great. But also, what the best part about it was is that he allowed Mourinho to take the moral high ground now. So whereas Mourinho's always, you know, like you would expect the manager to now come out and be like, yo, I can't believe he did that. Oh, he should be banned. You know, it's so great that Mourinho came out and said, I can't really say anything. Or we always do something, you know, people always do things wrong in football. Yeah. You know, me included. So I totally understand. And it's like, that must be even more unusual, infuriating for Wenger to just be like,
I think that is probably as much as anger as he'll ever show in his entire life. That's it. That's it for the year. Like, that was it. Just a push, and then he's
such
good.
A wimpy push. Yeah. Like, that's a great
it's
thing.
It's about trying to get him out the way. He was trying to go to Sanchez.
I think the real problem was there obviously wasn't a handy water bottle around.
Yeah.
Pick up and throw.
But also, Mourinho can be so pathetic sometimes, especially with like when the ball went out.
The ball boy.
He tells the ball boy to not throw it back in, and then. The ball, and then he takes it and doesn't give it back. And
no, he did give it back. The great thing is that he just said to the ball boy, "Go give me the ball." So the guy went to him. The ball boy threw it over your player's head to Mourinho, and the Mourinho just hands it to the. it's just like this arrogant show of power. I just love it. It's like you're in my house.
I don't like that arrogance. Makes me
well. Then you shouldn't be. So, you shouldn't like Wenger because he's like the most arrogant knobhead on the planet.
He's not arrogant. Not in the same. Not on the same level as Mourinho.
He's not arrogant in the sense that he has anything to boast about.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't. But he's just like. A chop.
I think you'll find the Community Shield is something that we can boast about. Okay, what other points do you have about the game?
Okay,
let's move on.
Final point is specifically about Wenger's post-match comments to do with it all being about money.
Oh yeah, ridiculous.
What do you guys have to say about that? Surely.
Well,
just remind me.
So Wenger basically came out after the game and said, "Oh, you know, games like this are decided on teams that have bigger spending power than other teams."
Oh yeah, that was very petty. I thought.
No, but okay. I think. I actually had a look at the stats for this because I saw a comment and...
Well, did you? Because I don't know if you're going to back him. I found the stats that I saw all... Okay, anyway, you go
okay,
ahead.
Well, for this current season, I think things have changed for Arsenal in the last two seasons where we've spent on Ozil and Sanchez specifically, where you guys haven't spent that much on play. I mean, you have, but they've been fairly... cheap in the sense of they haven't been like a 60 or 70 million pound thing. But I looked at the stats over 5 years. Over 3 years, 5 years, and 7 years. And you guys, or maybe not 3 years, sorry. Maybe 5 years, 7 years, and something like that. Yeah. Okay, let's just say 5 and 7 years. You guys trumped us by almost double over your total spend on players over the last five or seven years.
Over the last 5 years, not from 5 years ago.
Like, if you look at the last five years.
Because 5 years ago, we didn't have half the squad we have now.
Yeah, but if you look at all the purchasing spend that you've bought, take your transactions from the last 5 years, have almost doubled. It's something like you guys have spent £500 million in the last 5 years. We spent £308 million.
Let's remember £50 million of that was Torres. Yeah. So we can write that off.
But I'm saying in the last 5 years, and obviously there's still a lot of players in your squad that have been there for 5 years, you know, and just because you have players that have been there for a long time, you know, doesn't mean you haven't spent on them. You spent on them 5 years ago, you know, so I think if you take the last season or last two seasons, we're probably either even or Arsenal have spent more because of Ozil and Sanchez.
Well, okay, so the first thing to say is that the great thing about that comment is also that Arsenal have always, or Wenger specifically, have always painted Arsenal as like, not like the poor man's club, but like, oh, we are, you know, we,
frugal.
Yeah, we're frugal. But your wage bill is higher than our wage bill now, which is, you know,
yeah.
Firstly, that's significant. Secondly, if you were to take your two best players on the field, being Sanchez and Ozil, that they are like significantly more expensive than our two best players in the field, which were Fabregas and Costa. Okay. Also, I saw a stat that was talking about, if you, because we said earlier, it was the game was basically decided in the midfield. It was a midfield battle, and your midfield is about £5 million. It's not so. That's not much. It is pretty close, but your midfield is about £5 million more expensive than ours. So I think, like, overall, it seems that, yes, you might be right in terms of total spend, but I think if we're talking about players involved and all that kind of stuff, I think that the comment makes no sense. I think Wenger's still trying to... It almost sounds like he's trying to use it as an escape, or he's trying to use it as an argument, because I don't think you guys can say that you haven't been spending.
I mean, it probably is an excuse, let's be honest. He just lost 2-0 at Chelsea.
Why do you need an excuse for that? I mean, you know what I mean? Like, there also comes a time when you've just got to say, like, We're not having a great season. We've got seven players out. Chelsea are flying at the moment. There doesn't need to be an excuse. Just have the. I mean, maybe it's not as easy for him, but I suppose like just have the balls to be able to say like, yeah, they were better.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. I think it was petty. But I mean, he was probably still thinking about the pushing incident, which you know isn't exactly that flattering. It's something that you've done, and so. I guess you're in that situation. You're always going to try and scramble out of it.
It's 100% on nothing, and he think it's 100%. I'm gonna go out, walk out here with my chest up, and
I'm just gonna blame whoever I want.
I don't know. Anyway, it was a good game. I think and to have this many talking points out of a game, I think good or bad, it makes for entertaining football.
Yes,
you know, I think personally, I'm glad that I'm glad the red cards weren't shown.
Yeah.
Because I think it would have changed the game. Specifically, the fact that it would have meant like 3 red cards for your team. Really. And Cahill. And Wenger. You know, so.
I mean, I'd be really interested to see how the teams line up when we play you guys again at home. It'll be very interesting to see. Hopefully, we'll have some players back from injury. Mm. And I'm hoping that at that stage, we will be able to say, oh, maybe we'll actually be able to beat you at home. Because at the moment, I don't feel like that.
Yeah,
that
would even be the case. I think we get a draw. We even Stevens.
We'll see who we get to.
Okay, so this week in the stats.
Yes.
Bolly alluded to it earlier.
The pre-emptive.
He was talking. And with a lot of people with our victory this weekend and us being top of the table by a few points, a lot of people are saying, well, this is... give the title to Chelsea. I mean, that's what I'm saying.
No one's saying that.
Or they're saying similar things about, like, oh, no, okay, Arsenal are definitely out of the title race.
It goes both ways.
So I thought I'd have a look at, over the last few seasons of the Premier League, can you make any claims like at this stage of the season?
Okay. How many games are we in? I keep forgetting.
We are 7 games in.
Okay.
So I took it at the week rather than the games, because sometimes at this stage, some games, people have played 8 and other whatever. Yeah, yeah. So I'm looking at the end of game week 7, since the beginning of the Premier League. So what do you think, if you are winning, how many times?
If you're top of the league,
league at the end of game week 7...
How many times is that?
How many times? So out of they're 22. So you give a percentage. Sheesh. Does that result in you winning the league?
I'm gonna say 50%.
I'm gonna say 25%.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's low because I mean we've still got some. There's some teams in the log who generally wouldn't be that high up. So I'm gonna say 40.
There we go.
Boom!
Wow. Kerr has nailed it. He's having a great class today.
Wow.
40. So in the over the Premier League since the Premier League started, it's 40.91%. Okay. So that's out of the 22 seasons. the team who is leading at this after the game week 7 wins the league.
I think that's pretty high.
Yeah. And the team in second place has won at 27% of the time. So that's 6. And then any other team has won at 31 or 32% of the time. So the team in second place has won it less often than somebody else in the league. Sorry.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
Really? Wow.
So we have more chance of beating whoever's in second place at the moment.
Well, we'll get to that. So then the other question is, if you aren't in first or second, there's a 30% chance that one of those people will win it.
Yeah.
Mm. What is the... you know, which teams have done that and what positions have they won from? So what do you think the lowest position
The only teams that have won it have been mainly United, then Chelsea have won it second most times.
Yeah, I would say City
and then you guys.
I would say United.
Well, yeah, so say probably United have come back because they just had more, they've had more chances to do
so. You're on the right kind of path. United have come back the most.
But you can't be too far down, otherwise
you're just going to... So what is the lowest? Maybe come back from fifth. I would say it might be the lowest you could come back from. Because, I mean...
I would say Chelsea have come back from 10th place.
All the seasons we won it, we were firmly entrenched at the top.
Yeah. So Nick has actually got it. It was a 2020. It was actually last season when Manchester City came. They were in fifth place at this point in the season, and they came back to win it. But they were only at this point. They were actually only 3 points behind.
Yeah.
The lowest points behind, the most points behind, was in the 2002-03 season when United came back from 6 points behind.
Oh wow.
So it's still pretty tight.
So really, that means that being 5 points ahead of City at this point, if the highest chase has come back from 5 points, six points,
then you.
So it does tend towards it being a decently good shot.
But so that's actually
that's not the highest. That's when you are lower than third place. So the highest gap that's ever been overtaken was, or looks like, in the 1998-99 season, United were 6 points behind Aston Villa, and they overcame that gap and won the league.
Okay.
Well, it's going to be this season when Arsenal come back and win the league.
It's weird to think that, just something as simple as two wins, decides it so early in the season.
Yeah.
You know?
So the biggest gap in the 05-06 season, Chelsea, we were 9 points clear. At this stage of the season, we went on to win it. Yeah. That's the biggest gap that I can find at this stage of the season. Wow. And currently, we're 5 points. So we're kind of in a range where it could still slip away. But
we're 9 points.
It's looking reasonably good. You're 9 points back.
So it's possible.
Well, no, it's not possible.
If you do lose your position at the top, just make sure you fall down to third. Because then you have a better chance of getting back up again.
Yeah. And just to kind of give some extra stats. Another study looked at all the way back from the beginning of the kind of top tier league, so League One and then Premier League, and they found if you're at the top at the end of September, got a 35% of the time that team wins. Top end of October, 50%. End of November, 61%, and end of December, 69%.
Sure.
So
because last season we were top at Christmas.
Yeah, and then Liverpool and then us, and it just kept changing hands.
Mm. Yeah, it was very close the whole season, and. The greatest ever comeback of a team was in the 81-82 season. Liverpool were 12th on Boxing Day.
Wow.
And they just lost to City 3-1. And they'd won, I think, five out of their first 15 games or something. Ew. They managed to win 20 out of the next 25 and win the league.
Yeah.
That's insane.
But in the last, since the beginning of the Premier League, that kind of comeback.
How many points behind were there at that stage?
I don't know.
And that also is influenced whether the other teams are winning or losing their games as well. I mean, you can win as many games as you like, but if the big teams are winning their games, then it's not
That's the thing. So it's not entirely in your own hand. The only thing you can do is just make sure you get those wins so that if it happens, then you're in the pound seats. But that's really interesting.
So we're looking at Chelsea about a 40% chance, maybe slightly higher because of our points difference.
If the highest chase is only 6 points and really being 5 points, I mean, that's pretty close.
Yeah, I mean,
it still feels like a fragile lead. Yeah, because, like you said, two losses and then other teams is in first place. Yeah,
but I think maybe because you're far enough in the season that it's indicative of how your team's playing. Maybe it's giving an indication of that rather than just a random sample. But there we go.
Okay, well, that's really interesting. Thanks, man.
Thank you, Jeremy.
It's a pleasure, buddy.
It's the quiz.
Jeez. That was horrible.
Thank you. Thanks to that choir that came in and did that. We pay big money for these jingles.
Oh, that was unusual. Okay, so we're continuing with our team-themed quizzes, and we're working down the pecking order from last season. So we're on the Liverpool quiz. And I'm going to be honest, I struggled to find interesting facts about Liverpool. I really tried. Here we go. Question one. Liverpool's first ever game was against Rotherham Town. What was the score and who won?
4-2 Rotherham.
Okay. 1-0 Liverpool.
Okay.
3-2 Rotherham.
Well, so Liverpool won. Damn it. I think Bolly got that. But Nick got the closest to the actual score deficit, which was 7-1.
7-1.
Yeah, they thrashed them.
Wow.
I mean, who the hell's Rotherham Town?
Stupid.
Okay, so I don't, to be honest, I don't know who won that. I'm going to say Bolly because he's an Arsenal fan. Okay, let's be transparent. Okay, second question. Anfield was the original home of which club?
Liverpool.
Everton.
Everton is the right answer.
Yeah. Really?
Yes, Everton. Side. Everton yeah. FC in 1884.
That's so funny.
But after a rent dispute, Everton decided to move to Goodison Park in 1891.
This is Anfield. It hasn't always been so, but it is now.
We'll never walk
alone. It's always been Anfield. It's always been home of Liverpool.
Yeah, fair enough.
So. Okay, the third question is, despite a 20,000 capacity stadium, Liverpool's first game was watched by how many people?
80,000.
80,000. I'd say 21,000.
I'm saying 32,000.
The answer is 100.
I feel like I came the closest.
And the final question...
100 people.
Yeah, 100. No, you all got that.
Oh, Liverpool's first game, yeah. Yeah. Sorry.
Okay, and well, I got closest.
None of you 21. Got closest to 100.
I said 80.
No,
I said 21.
Okay, and the final question is, which Liverpool player was the youngest to appear for his country since 1881? Oh. And how old is he?
Gerrard.
Raheem Sterling.
No.
Gerrard.
No.
Is it someone we know?
Yeah. I've even heard of him.
Morelles.
No,
recent.
Pretty famous. Not that recent.
Benitez.
No.
Michael Owen.
Correct.
Yes, of course.
How old is he?
He was 16.
No, he was 18 years.
18, 21 days.
13. 59 days.
Oh, going to Bolly.
So I think Jeremy won that with 2 points to Bolly's 1. And Nick got nothing.
Man, I've had a terrible week.
I've had a pretty bad
week. Yeah,
relegated.
Terrible.
I've got nothing this week.
That is the final whistle. so we've got some predictions that we do have an interlal, so I'm not sure if we'll be having a podcast next week. But the interlal is what the team's playing in their international fixtures.
Yeah,
just for those who don't know.
I was gonna say, is that a real word?
Yeah. But the next game that Arsenal's playing is Hull at home. Bolly? I'm not gonna speak to these two. They don't care.
I think we need to pick ourselves up. We're very good at responding to a defeat, and so I reckon it's gonna be a thumper 3-0 to the Arsenal.
Fantastic.
Even with Ozil out.
Even with Ozil out, I think
means having that in the wing.
Yeah, exactly.
Although
I think
you've got
we'll do well.
Do you start Ox?
Exactly. It's going to give Ox more game time. It's going to be good.
Ox is great. He's my favourite player now.
That's fantastic. I reckon, I'm going to go even bigger. Let's go 4-0. Why not? I think Welbeck's going to have another cracker. And you guys? You guys? Who are you playing?
We got Crystal Palace. What are your feelings on that?
We've never lost to them in the Premier League.
That's true.
So I reckon it's going to be a good, probably a 3-0.
Yeah, I'm going to say also, I'm going to go 3. Oh, no, I can't do that.
Can't.
5-0.
That's huge.
I'm just going to score a hat-trick and a half.
Yeah. Great. So. Well, thank you guys for being here. It's been a pleasure. And we will chat to you soon.
Fantastic.
You can find us on podomatic.com, redandblue.podomatic.com, or on iTunes, whatever your preference.
Yes, I'd just like to say thank you for being such a great host.
Oh, it's an absolute pleasure. And we'll chat to you soon.
Bye.
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 Whoa.
Was that the final whistle?
I don't know. I think it's still coming.
Was that from the crowd?
Yeah.
Someone brought a whistle in.